Matthew's gospel today, Matthew chapter number 2, and believe it or not, we have already come to the end of this this series. It's been an amazing journey, hasn't it? And really some great lessons that have been put together. And today's lesson is lesson number 10, and the theme all along has been when you just can't get over it, or actually I mixed it up, when you can't just get over it. And so this is number 10, which normally there's quite a bit more, like normally it's a quarter, but this one just had 10 lessons, which is fine. And but I hope they've helped you. They've been recorded. If you would like to go back, maybe you missed one, or maybe there's one that you know a friend could use and benefit from. And again, it's not the pastor's word, it's the word of God. And so God's word will help us to help others. And that's really what we ought to be doing. We ought to be giving what God, taking what God gives us and then giving it on to someone else. Today's lesson helped me in preparation for it, and possibly it will help you even right now. And I've seen this in my own personal life, and I'm sure you have. The theme is rather interesting. Title, the theme of it is Traveling Without the Star. Traveling Without the Star. And we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 2. And, you know, when you think of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we automatically think, in some ways, we think of a manger, we think of shepherds, we think of no room in the inn, we think of a very humble beginning. And, of course, there's also another group of people that we think we ought to think of. And maybe you have a nativity scene that you have in your home. I remember my grandmother having one. We had one as well. And there was always one thing about that nativity scene that as I got a little bit older and read the Bible a little bit more carefully, I realized that there were some people that were a little bit out of place. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But anyway, Matthew chapter 2, God's word says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men." That's who we're really focusing on this morning, are the wise men. "From the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea." Notice this. "For thus it is" what? "Written." Isn't that great? It's been written already, Herod, by the prophets. And thou Bethlehem Ephratah, right? And the Bible has it there in the Old Testament. "For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the," notice the next two words, young child. "When ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." That's not what he had in mind, but anyway, we know that. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star," there it is again, notice, "which they saw in the east." So two times we've seen that it says that they saw the star when they were in the east. They're not there now. "Went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you'd help me to be able to give it how you would want this outline, Lord. The outline isn't necessarily important. It's the truth of the Word of God, but it does help us, Lord, to maybe put this together in our own personal life. How can we look at these wise men and their great faith and incorporate that to today in our life when we don't see the star? In Jesus' name, amen. I would submit to you that these wise men had great faith. And we're going to see that as we move through this particular outline. This is the kind of faith that I'm seeking in my own personal life, that we would be led of the Lord. And we're going to look at three Bible characters in just a moment as well, that we would be led of the Lord when we don't see the Lord. We still know that God is directing. And we know someday, praise the Lord, someday our faith is going to become sight when we enter the presence of the Lord in heaven, right? And we're looking forward to that day, but I know we're not necessarily, signing up on the next train that leads to heaven necessarily. We'd like to live a little while longer and serve Him and worship Him, but He has all that in His hands, even the timing of all that. But these wise men, they show us an amazing example of faith and trust in God that is absolutely mind-boggling when you look at it and you look at the distance traveled and all that took place. Another name for these wise men that we might have heard before is the term magi. Magi. And whatever term you want to use for them, the Bible calls them magi. But there's a famous story, the gift of the magi. Maybe you've heard of that. Yeah, likely these wise men were descendants of the Medes, from the Medo-Persian Empire. And we know from history that the Medes, a little just background here, had been involved in an unsuccessful revolt, and they were forced into a servant-type position. Many of the Medes studied science. These wise men would have been no exception to that. And they would have been also very interested in astronomy, and they would have studied the stars, which is, again, exactly why this is so important in this lesson today. Well, it came that there was a day, and these wise men, as the Bible says here, that they saw a star that was completely different. In fact, this star was so unusual that it caused these men to leave Persia and travel toward Jerusalem. Now, that's a 15, I'm sorry that I'm not converting this to kilometers, but you just know it's a long distance, okay? 1,500-mile journey. And the average travel on one day in this day, because again, we're not talking about 2021, was 20 to 30 miles average per day. Now, I did a little bit of math. That would take 60 days. If they averaged 25 miles per day. You talk about an amazing journey. This is the journey that they were on, traveling toward Jerusalem. And again, they knew stars. And so it's very evident that they knew, and we know, of course, today, that this was not just any old star. It had great purpose for being there. And so they set out on a journey. But we're going to learn that the star wasn't guiding them all along the way. At least that's what I believe from our text today that we're going to discover. So let's look at this outline. Several things that are, number one, misconceptions. Misconceptions. Now, again, misconceptions, what it means is things that we've been told that we thought were in the Bible, but they actually weren't. The first one is the number of wise men. The number of wise men. And you would say there were how many wise men if you just went on a misconception? Three, right? That's okay. That's okay if that's, that you thought. But it's not okay if you want to be completely accurate. Because we don't know how many wise men there were. What we do know is how many gifts they brought. And that's why sometimes we think there were each one was carrying one gift, right? And again, that's logical maybe, but not everything about the Bible is logical. Let's remember that, okay? And so I'm of the belief that more than likely there were more than three, although it just says wise men, okay? So the number of the wise men. Secondly is the timing of their arrival. And this goes back to what I was speaking of earlier in every one of your nativity scenes. Every one of the nativity scenes has the shepherds and the wise men involved in the nativity scene. And Jesus is a baby. But in Matthew's Gospel chapter number 2, Herod says that I want you to go and see the young child. Where was that at? Verse number 8. Verse number 8. When you have found the young child, search diligently for the young child. And then look at verse 11. We did not read it, but look at verse 11, please. And when they were come into the house, that's something you ought to underline. That's not a barn. They came into the house. That's not the stable, right? They came into the house. So now they're no longer at the birth scene, okay? And so many believe that anywhere from 18 months to 2 years old is Jesus at this time, okay? But what we do know, at least I believe we can confidently say he's not a baby in the manger, all right? Because he's at the house, and the Bible says they saw the young child, again, keywords, young child, with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him, and when they had opened their treasures, and here we go, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And again, that's sometimes why we think there's only three of them. So there's the timing of his arrival. There's the number of the wise men. You can also look down at verse 16. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked, because the wise men did not go back to Herod, because God told them not to go back to Herod. And so verse 12 says they were warned of God in a dream. And so Herod figures it out, and he says, okay, we're going to have, look at verse 16. He sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem from what years old? 2 years old. So I think, we believe that he's trying to find Jesus in that number. So he's saying 2 years old and down, kill them all. And so again, an indicator that more than likely Jesus was not a baby. And so the timing of the arrival of these wise men many times is a misconception. And then letter C is one that kind of gets to our lesson today, okay? And that is the leading of the star. The leading of the star. And again, possibly this misconception comes from the Christmas carol, We Three Kings. Because in We Three Kings, and we all know that Christmas carols are inspired, right? No, they're not. The Bible is inspired, okay? You know, unfortunately, I've been singing from our own hymn book sometimes, and you sing certain lyrics, and you think, I don't know about that lyric. Just remember, this is an excellent source, but it's not the Bible, okay? And, you know, as we've been learning in our hymn history, anyway, we'll just skip over that right now. But We Three Kings following yonder star. You remember singing that? We should have had Brother Charles break out We Three Kings this morning. That would have really helped us. But I think he did a great job on the rest of them. But nowhere in the Bible do we read that they were following, constantly following the star. It's not in there. In fact, I believe we could see from the Bible that most of their journey was spent without the star leading them. Look at Matthew 2:2. Where do we come up with this this thought? Look at Matthew 2:2. The wise men asked Herod about the birthplace of Jesus. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Initially, they see the star where they were from, in the east, as we laid out already. But this star disappeared at some point along their journey while they were still in the east. And that's why they asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Jerusalem is the what? The capital city. And but they had to ask for directions from Herod. Why? Because the star was no longer there. And look at chapter 2, verse 9. Here's the second proof. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east is back again. Went before them, and that's what I wrote here in my notes. It's back, you know? And so, I mean, also, can you sense, you know, a lot of times we just read the Bible, kind of like Charlie Brown's teacher, right? And we just read the Bible, and it really... But let number 10, don't read over number 10. When they saw the star, look, If they had been looking at this star the whole journey, just my way of looking at it, okay? I don't know that that emphasis would have been placed in the scripture that they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I get the idea they've been traveling for 60 days. This is how I view, you know? They've been traveling and traveling and traveling and going in a direction that they saw the star in originally and doing their 25 miles a day, and they're tired and they're worn out. Boy, they would be. And they get to Herod, and Herod says, you know, or they ask Herod, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We've been heading this direction the whole time. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says that they left Herod's presence, and what's up? What's up in the sky? The star. And it causes an amazing amount of joy to come over them that here is what we saw 2 months ago, and now we see it again. They see the star, they rejoiced, and they were happy, and they were thankful to once again see this great leading of the Lord. Now, how many times do we find ourselves like the wise men? What is the point? The point is this. The wise men started out in faith. God leading them through a star. We start out many times by faith, but somewhere along the journey, we are traveling without the star. Now, praise the Lord, as Christians today, we have inside of us God's Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful for that? We have God's Holy Spirit guiding us and convicting us and comforting us. And we can't go anywhere without Him. Right? Remember that old commercial, don't leave home without it? What was that talking about? Do you remember? I think it was American Express. I think that's what it was. And everybody took that to heart, and now they're in debt, $25,000. No, I'm just kidding. But praise the Lord, as a Christian, we don't leave home without the Holy Spirit of God. And we have Him indwelling us to guide and direct us. But here is the point here about these wise men, the misconceptions, okay? So now let's look in the Bible at three examples today. There are many others who traveled without a star. Traveled without a star. You know, the whole theme of this lesson is walk by faith, not by sight. Really, that's the whole theme. Now, we're not going to stop and go home, but because you're already at home, okay? We're just going to keep going. Several men in the Bible who traveled without a star, just like the wise men. Letter A, Joseph. You know, I've heard Joseph's story, and you've heard it time and time again, but I was even challenged by something new in looking at the life of Joseph. Joseph had a dream. He was the dreamer, remember? And we did a series on that, or we talked about Joseph some time ago, and in his dreams, you know, Joseph was made out to be a pretty important fella. So much so that his brothers and his own father and mother, their sheaves, bowed down to him. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse number 7, For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. I guess it wasn't until the stars that his father, chapter 37 and verse 9, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, referring to his 11 brothers, sun and the moon, referring to his mom and dad. And so these are dreams that Joseph had at the outset of his life, but these dreams would not come into reality immediately. As you know, if you've read about the life of Joseph, that's not how it worked out at the beginning. Joseph would be sold into slavery, and Joseph would end up in Potiphar's house, and then Joseph would be put in prison. And you know what's interesting? Here's what God taught me about this, that all along the journey, there were no new dreams. He had the dreams at the beginning. 13 years would go by, traveling without a star. Oh yeah, he had definite dreams at the beginning, but can you imagine what he's thinking in Potiphar's house, in prison, sold into slavery. Here I am, I'm a servant here, and of course he did all he could. He had God's favor and worked hard, and then he was falsely accused, and now he's in prison. No dream there. Now, the butler and the baker had dreams, but not Joseph. And on it goes. No dreams. Until 13 years later, God fulfilled the dreams. But do we see Joseph continuing to honor the Lord with his life? Yes, we do. Do we see Joseph continuing to trust that whatever God was trying to tell him back in his late teen years, many people believe around 17 years of age, give or take, and now in his early 30s, did Joseph lose sight of what God was trying to do? No, he continued to trust God that whatever God was telling me when I was 17 years old, whenever God wants it to come to pass, it will. And so he was traveling through life by faith. He was traveling through life without a star. What do you do when the star is no longer there? And we go all the way to the end of Genesis, in the book of Genesis, in chapter number 50. And most of you know this verse or you're familiar with it, but maybe you're visiting today and this is new. So I want to read it. Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20. It is a verse that should be burnt into our heart as we consider this theme. But as for you, this is Joseph speaking to his brethren who sold him into slavery and all of this. This is now the end of the story. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. For many years, Joseph traveled without a star. Let her be Abraham. Let's keep moving. Let her be Abraham. Before he left his homeland of Ur, you are, what a title, eh? Before he left his homeland of Ur, God said, I'm going to make of you a great what? Great nation. One problem. He had no children. How are you going to have a great nation if you don't have any children? Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 to 4 is that promise. In fact, speaking of stars, God told him that it would be as the stars of heaven. And that's how much his family would be. And verse 4 of Genesis 12, Abram was 75 years of age. So one problem was he has no children. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Second problem is he's starting to get up there a little bit. 75. And his wife was getting up there too. And you know what happened? It wasn't until Abraham was 100 years of age and Sarah was 90. So when the promise came, Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65. And I'm going to make of thee a great nation. That would be, if you will, that would be the star showing up, like the dreams were to Joseph and the star was to the wise men. But then no baby. Time's running out, God. You know, I got to start having kids here pretty soon. Time's running out. How are you going to do this? And yet we know Abraham was a man of great faith. 30 years after the promise, 30 years approximately, almost 30 years, the promised son, Isaac, would be born. Abraham, Joseph, how about Noah? How about Noah? Letter C is Noah. Many think there would have been about 1 billion people on the earth in the time of Noah. And God came to one man named Noah. Think of it. And he said to Noah in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. God considered him and his family to be the only righteous people on the earth. Hebrews tells us that by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. So God telling Noah, you're a righteous before me. Now here's what I need you to do. That's like the star to the wise men. That's like the dreams to Joseph. That's like the God speaking to Abraham. And God says, I want you to build an ark, and here's why. And he gives him all the dimensions, and everything happens, and he does it all by faith. But did you know what? 120 years would go by. Noah and his family working on that ark, chopping down the wood, making the ark, doing all that, and came in. No rain. Just building. You can only imagine what those people that knew who Noah was, and they knew his family, and they knew what he was doing after a couple of years went by, and then maybe 5 years went by. Think about it in perspective, okay? I know we don't live as long as they did back then, so let's break it down and put it in perspective that you're going to live your life by faith for 40 years, and people are watching you. Why are you living your life this way? Why do you keep going to church? Why do you keep reading the Bible? Why do you keep doing these things? What is going on with you? Well, you know, someday Christ is returning, and I'm looking forward to being in heaven with him for all eternity. Can you imagine what it must have been like? Someday it's going to rain. Okay, right. What's rain? You know, so what I'm saying is Noah went through all these years without a star, but he had that one meeting with God. God said, build an ark. Okay, I'm going to build an ark. And by faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Noah moved forward. And by the way, that's the only way we need to move forward in 2021 is by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Maybe you can relate today. Maybe you can relate today about the Christian life. I'm not trying to be down in the mouth or whatever, but everyone goes through seasons of difficulty. Everyone can go through seasons of great challenge. I don't know how emotionally Noah would have been in his life when he got to year 118. And it still hadn't rained yet. And no one was seemingly on board, no pun intended, with Noah and his family. And we know what happened. No one did get on board. Can you imagine that? It was exciting, you know. I bet when they started out building that ark, I bet it was exciting. Something else to do, right? We're going to build an ark. You know, sometimes the Christian life starts off that way. It starts off exciting, and maybe coming into a new church or coming into a new year or whatever it may be, at times there's a level of excitement. And maybe that's been very challenging for us in recent months to be excited about what God is doing. But I say, do not let the enemy of God distract you from what God is doing. And God is advancing right now his kingdom, even though we may not see the star. God is advancing. So I need to finish this up. My time is almost done already. Number three, we've got to get to this because I believe now let's wrap this up. What to do when the star disappears? You're going through a challenging time and it's silence. Timing. It's silent. You don't hear from God. What do you do? Letter A, remain faithful. Remain faithful. This is no time to go wobbly. Have you ever driven through a heavy fog? Barely see the road ahead of you. But what are we looking for? What are we looking for when we're driving through a heavy fog? We're looking for those lines on the side of the road or in the middle of the road. And hopefully we're not in the middle of the road going over top of those dotted lines. Eventually what happens? You come out of it. There's a clearing. Maybe you have to slow down. Maybe you got to slow down in life. Keep moving forward. Remain faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 is a great verse of Scripture. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The wise men were without a star for a long time, but they kept going. They kept traveling. They kept moving. God isn't always going to reveal himself in such a way that there's this huge star in the sky or this huge airplane that flies over top of your house and says, here's what you need to do this week. But every time we open this book, we open the mind of God. And remember, as a Christian, we have God's Spirit indwelling us. What do? We've got to remain faithful. We may not know exactly what to do. Stay faithful. There may be obstacles to confront. Stay faithful. And I'm thankful for God's faithfulness in my life. I'm thankful that God hasn't failed us one time. And he's not going to start with you. Letter A, remain faithful. Letter B, we just mentioned it. Follow God's word. Follow God's word. King Herod asked the chief priests and the scribes, so where is Jesus going to be born? And they tell Herod, oh, Herod, read the Bible. Read the prophecy. It's spoken of by the prophet. What does this verse mean? This verse means that the wise men didn't go to Bethlehem because the star suddenly appeared for them while they were in Jerusalem. They went that direction because of the Old Testament writing of the prophet. How were they? Yes, the star appeared, but they were headed that direction because of the writing of the prophet that said, he would be born where? In Bethlehem. So, again, God's word is the leader. God's word is the, as we say, have said, it's the roadmap. It directs us each step of the way. When something else is taken from us, remember, God's word that we have committed to memory, not just in our head, but transferring it down into our heart and the way that we live our life, it's there, it's there. Keep leaning on the Word of God. Keep following the Word of God. In other words, better than a star in the sky, we have the Scriptures. And it's the completed canon of Scripture. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, we have it. It's there for us every step of the way. In fact, Peter said, it is a more sure word of prophecy. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 9. Then, let her see. What do? When we can't see the star, trust God's plan. Isn't that the way our lives are to be lived? Remain faithful. Follow God's word. Trust His plan. Story is told of a young boy named Danny Wilow. And in Danny Wilow's life, he suffered something that you would want no child to go through. He was in a car accident and he lost his left arm. That would be difficult, wouldn't it? For a child especially, but for anyone. Danny lost his left arm and Danny's parents were trying to encourage him. And so they entered him into judo without his left arm. He had no left arm. And so the sensei in the judo school that he went to was a very wise old man. And he took Danny under his wing and he taught Danny one move. And one move only. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. He taught Danny this move. The one-armed young man. Constantly, one move, one move, one move. That's the only thing he taught him. Danny entered into a competition, a judo competition, and it was against people that were much older and much stronger than him. The sensei that he had that was teaching him, he knew what he was doing. And it came down to Danny made it all the way to the final match, and he was paired up against, again, someone who was much stronger, much bigger than him, obviously had both arms. And the judges even said, are you sure you want to do this? And he said, yes, go. And the match started off, and Danny wasn't doing too well. His opponent was really taking him to task. And then all of a sudden, Danny saw the moment that he had been training for all of his time. And he executed the move that he had, the only move he really knew, a game-winning or a match-winning move. He executed it perfectly, and he won the tournament. Danny was talking to his sensei, and he said, I wondered why all this time, why that you were only helping me and training me to do this one move. And his sensei said, well, he said, I knew that you were capable of doing it. And he said, I knew that the only defense for this move was grabbing the opponent's left arm. And you didn't have a left arm. And that's why you won. What's the point? The point is sometimes God has to take some things away from us that we think we have to have. The star was there. He took it away. But they had the scripture. The dreams came to Joseph. God took them away. But God knew what was coming. The promise came to Abraham. No children. Little Danny, how am I going to win without a left arm? The plan was in place. See, we need to remain faithful. Right now, this is not the time to bail out on God. If God is taking something away, it's for a purpose. Trust Him. Keep moving forward. Keep trusting His plan. Keep following by faith. Sometimes God takes something away from us so that we want so the devil can't grab us. Trust Him. This is not the time to quit. I remember hearing years ago a pastor that I had said, cut the word quit out of your dictionary. This is no time to quit. Yes, there are some sins we need to quit, but this is no time to quit on the Lord. When the path grows dim, there's fog in the way, remember, God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Dark days we are living in, but we have the promise of God's word. What are you going to do? What are we going to do when the star disappears? It's no time to leave the Lord. It's no time to leave His work. This is the time to trust His plan, follow His word, live by faith. I hope this series has been a help and a challenge to you. This lesson has really challenged me about not being able to see certain things and continuing to move forward one step at a time by faith. Again, why are we able to do that? It isn't because past experience. It isn't because we graduated from Bible college or Faith Bible Institute. Good things to do, by the way. It's because we have this book and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. That's all we need to continue to move forward.